So what am I going to preach this morning? I tell you what, it's just going to be an introduction. A couple of things. God said that I am getting distracted. He didn't say that about himself. He said me, talking about me. God said, I am so distracted up here. It's really busy. No, he said that to me. And a couple of things he said was, he said to stop the life support on Monday night, get Shelly back in there and get her teaching the Word of God in person, hold the videos, DVDs for when she's not there, and that to also stop the end times update, that that's becoming a distraction. The Holy Spirit of God said, I want you to concentrate on the spiritual gifts, on relationship with God, on revival. And he said, you've added too many things that are pulling in other directions. Focus on the final revival till Jesus comes and those spiritual gifts that need to be in operation that are just hanging on the edges. And so the Holy Spirit said to me to begin to teach on the spiritual gifts. If you don't know what they are, you will by the time you're done. So this is an introduction. Those are those special things that God places in each one of us that are for somebody else. The gift is not for you. Now, I just want to share some illustrations here, and then we'll be done. Why would we need spiritual gifts? What's the point? Just so we can go Shazam, you know? Wow, that was way cool. No, not so much. They're necessary because everything fits together by design, including the gifts that God uses. He'll use you if you yield to him in any of them. I don't know anybody that has all of them, but I know people that yield themselves, that they're available to God. The bee colony, like beep, like zzz, you know, the insect bee colony. God designed that. God designed a bee colony. That was his idea. Now, we ought to pay close attention to a bee colony to see what God was thinking. Some colonies have up to 80,000 bees. That's busy. Busy as a bee. Busy bees, 80,000 of them. There's only one queen bee. One. Forager bees search for food and collect it and bring it back. Guard bees protect the hive from intruders. Undertaker bees remove dead bees from inside the hive and pull them out. Water collector bees bring moisture into the hive and release it to keep a correct humidity. Plasterers make repairs to the hive when it's broken by weather and such. Fanners hover at the entrance, fanning the scent from inside the hive outward so that any bees that are lost or disoriented know where to go. Their job, they sit at the entrance and keep it going. Scouts take off and search for dangers or opportunities. And then the worker bees do everything else. There's no assignment for a do-nothing bee. Not one of them. So if God has so intricately designed the beehive with the diversity of gifts, would he not design the human race family in the same way? Right. You can't be a do-nothing bee. Anybody grow up in romper room, baby boomers? Do be a do be, don't be a don't be. You know, look in your magic mirror and see. Where are all my doobies? No, not that. Baby boomers. Two different thoughts. You guys. Okay. The idea is this. If God did that with a beehive, what would he do with us? Because a lot of people in a lot of churches, by the millions, Christians have this idea, I can do whatever I want. But the bees don't do that in God's design. I can do whatever I want. When people do whatever they want, it's a mixed bag of what gets done. In the beehive, they do their part, and it all works. Second illustration, Perlinda Coles was a Baptist church organist married to the Baptist preacher named Edward. She taught her kids, Eddie, Freddie, Ike, and Nathaniel, to play the church organ when they were little. At age 4, Nathaniel played his first solo. It was the song, some of you might know it, Yes, We Have No Bananas. Some of you know that one. Nathaniel would sit outside of a club and listen to Louis Armstrong play his trumpet and sing. He was too young, so he sat outside and would listen. At age 15, he dropped out of high school to play music in different bands. The year was 1934. Years later, in 1950, when Nathaniel was 32 years old, he got a job playing piano in an area bar. He did it really good. Great piano player in the bar. A patron has been hanging around this bar and is sick of hearing his piano playing. And he says, sing something. And Nathaniel says, I don't sing. I play the piano. He said, I want you to sing something. I'm tired of hearing just the piano. Now sing something. Little arguments going on. He's saying, I don't sing. Finally, the patron went up to the bartender, who was the owner, and said, make him sing something. And the bartender yells, if you don't sing, you don't get paid. So Nat King Cole sang a song called Mona Lisa. Over 100 top hits later, he found out he could sing. What's the point? He argued that I don't do that. People will argue about the spiritual gifts. Oh, that's for other people. That's for other Christians. Maybe if they want it or want to participate in it. But I don't do that. I don't do spiritual gifts. I don't do tongues, interpretation, prophecy. I don't do words of wisdom, words of knowledge, discerning of spirits. I don't do miracles, special healings, or special faith. That's not me. I don't do that. I play the piano. Next story. Beau geste means, in French, kind of loosely, it means a fine gesture. P.C. Wren wrote a novel about three English brothers who stole some family heirloom jewels and fled, each separately joining the French Foreign Legion at a different time. And various movies of various plots have been made out of Beau geste, if you've seen the old black and white French Foreign Legion films. And so these brothers that joined separately wound up out fighting the Arabs. There are only 4 left alive inside the fort. Lots of dead bodies, lots of weapons, and 4 left alive, and they've got an army coming against them. So they prop up the dead bodies in the windows and put their guns in their shoulders, and out of every portal and every window is a body and a gun. And then when the Arabs began to attack, the 4 men ran from place to place, pulling the trigger. So the guns were going off all over the place. And so the Arabs thought, uh-oh, there's more people there than I thought. Well, in the story, Michael, who's also known as Bo, he's the main character, winds up dying. So does his twin brother. I think his name is Digby. But the youngest brother survives and returns home to tell the tale and to resolve the family heirloom theft issue. The point, a few people running around trying to cover for the many will eventually wear down. It's more effective if you got live people pulling the trigger all over the place. A few operating in spiritual gifts does not equal a full group operating in spiritual gifts. Next illustration. University of Michigan, 1990s. The U of M in the early 90s had the fortune of having the top 5 ranked superstar basketball players in the nation, all on the same team, 1 through 5. Now, you'd think they'd have it made. They thought the championships are just going to start popping. Not one of those ever wanted a championship at all. You know why? Because they got on the basketball floor and each one of them was going to save the day, be the superstar. They could never get them to pass off to give someone else the credit. And so they never won a championship, even though they had the top 5 national players on the team. What's the point of that one? We're on Team Jesus. If you're used, great. If somebody else is used, great. If you have to pass the ball, pass the ball. If it comes to you, take the shot or pass the ball. The issue is we're on a team, and if we don't work as a team, we're sunk. Yeah, there are superstars, but as far as I know, the power of God working in any Christian is super. Do you remember 1980? I don't think I was born. Yeah, I wasn't born. Well, those that remember 1980, we had an Olympics that year, and we had a team of not that very good of players in hockey, and it was the Olympics, and they'd made it all the way to play the Russians. If you've ever seen the movie The Miracle on Ice, wow. So here's what happens. The coach hands the assistant coach the roster of who would play. U.S. doesn't have that very many good players. The assistant coach looks at who the coach has called to play the game for the gold against Russia and says, "These aren't our best players." And the coach says, "I know they're not our best. They're the right players." And they won the gold. They weren't the best players. They were the players that learned how to work together, and they won it. And that's why it was called the Miracle on Ice. No way should they have even done that. But each one did their part. They worked together. They were the no-names that became the Miracle on Ice. I have a wood-burning stove in my bedroom downstairs in our house. I do not light a match and able to warm myself. Okay? And the point of me lighting the match to light the wood is not so that I can warm the wood burner, so that the wood burner was warm. When the wood burner, what's the point of the wood burner? To warm what? The house. And what's the point of warming the house? People, right? Okay. So, but nothing happens if I don't strike the match, right? What if I never strike the match? I have to strike the match in order to light the wood, in order to heat the burner, in order to warm the room, in order to warm the people. I don't strike a match and huddle around it thinking, this is so cool. I love the colors, the shape. Fire's way cool. That's why the firemen in Darien knew me by my first name. I blew up and burnt down a couple of things over the years. So they would say, Gary. I thought, okay. But the whole point was, if I don't light it at all, nothing's going to happen. Or if I think, oh, this is so cool, I'm going to hover around the match, nothing happens. A lot of people think that the spiritual gifts are an end all. Cool, we had tongues and interpretation on Sunday morning. It was so cool. You're huddling around the match. It's bigger than that. It's not for just Sunday morning. These gifts of the Spirit are 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. You need a word of wisdom, a word of knowledge, discerning of spirits, miracles, wherever you go the rest of the week. They should be supernatural gifts functioning in supernatural children of God. And if you're not using the spiritual gifts the rest of the week, we kind of lost the point. We're hovering around a match on a Sunday morning, and the match is very necessary, but it's always for someone else. We're supernatural children, yet we could live naturally. A lot of Christians do. And when they live naturally, they get natural results. We want a supernatural life, and yet if we do everything in the natural, we get a natural life. That's a disappointing kind of life, when you could have had the supernatural life. Spiritual gifts are for everyone. Everyone. But how do we get them? You yield to them. First of all, what if you don't know they exist? If any guy here, probably women too, ever said the word, if I only had the right tool, I could get to it or do it, right? You realize that if I just had the right tool, spiritual gifts are the right tool. They're not toys to play around with. They're not weapons to beat each other up with. I remember this one lady, she says, oh, I don't like it when they come to prophesy. We go to this ladies' group and we gather together. They speak in tongues and they prophesy. I always get a bad one. Well, there's one lady in the group that didn't like her. And she thus saith the Lord and just nail her, judge her, criticize her. Yeah, she was using them like, oh, what do you know? I remember our missionary, Jim Rogan. He used to be a youth pastor. And he was putting in a 40-hour week, and they were paying him $100. And he had one guy that didn't like him. And he thought, I need a little bit of bump up here. $100 isn't going very far for the week. And that was it. And so this guy, they sat down at the meeting of the board. And this guy who didn't like him starts out immediately. With I hear from thus saith the Lord, do not give him an increase in wages. Yeah, that's how they started. He wanted to get it out first before anybody raised the issue that we ought to bump up his pay a little bit. You think that was God? I don't think it was. Yet some people will use these as weapons, and they say, and they'll use them directed against other people. They're not weapons. They're to build up the body of Christ. They're not really technically even designed to reach out to the unsaved, although the unsaved will stop and notice when it starts happening. They're to build the body of Christ in two ways. Build the current body of Christ that are saved and add to the body of Christ as other people say, what's going on? You go, well, miracles, signs, and wonders. How'd you like some miracles in your life? They're available. We don't hand children weapons, loaded weapons, nor do we send out soldiers with toy weapons, do we? No. And yet, some people treat the gifts like, oh, I love playing around with this stuff, or using as weapons against somebody else, and you're missing the point. They're a tool. To do what? Not so that you can focus on the gifts, but you can focus on the God. The God behind the gifts. Like a lot of people believe in healing and go for healing and want healing and everything, but how about the healer? Christ the healer. We've often left God out of the process. Christ the healer. And we'll do that with the gifts if we don't watch out to say, what's the point? The point is God. It's always God. It's always God. The gift is not the point. Oh, great, we had gifts functioning. Well, what were they for? They were to build up the body of Christ. And they'll build you up too. They're not designed for you, but sometimes you get the spillover from it. I think I'm about done here. Let me glance here. Oh, there's another page I didn't see. Our hunger for the supernatural is our hunger for God, so that even more is revealed to a world living without hope. What if you heard God say this? I'm doing the best I can, considering. Considering what? I'm doing the best I can, considering. Are there limits on God? Trick question. There are bottlenecks. There are limits, not God-imposed ones. They are self-imposed limits on God. I am doing the best I can, considering I'm working my power through people. Well, if God wants to do anything, he can just bypass us and do it. He won't. Why not? He can do anything. He won't. He won't operate outside of his word. He won't operate outside of his will. And his word and his will said, I'm going to work through people. All the way from Genesis, when man shall rule over all the earth. All the rest of the way on, God wants a working relationship with us. So we're in the mix. His perfect word has already declared that he's going to work through us, through our testimony, through our personal yieldedness. Two reasons why these gifts aren't flowing the way we want them to be. One is we don't know about them. We don't know what they are. We don't know how they work. And the second is we know what they are, how they work. We're not yielding ourselves to them. Either one of them will stop it, but it's an easy fix for us. First thing we do is teach on it, so the revelation and truth comes forth. The next thing we do is make ourselves available to yield to them and start learning how to use the tools that God has made available. Praise God. There's nine of them. We're going to go through all nine of them. Three say something, three reveal something, three do something, and we're not limited to those nine. That's just the basic package deal you got. There's more than nine, but that's the basic package. Signs and wonders, miracles, healings, words of guidance, comfort, strengthening, warnings. Professional football game in a stadium. 22 people on the field in dire need of rest. Watched by 70,000 people in dire need of exercise. Yeah, we need to get in the game. We need to play. We need to give. Hallelujah. Praise God. Father, thank you for your presence this morning. And Holy Spirit, Jesus Christ, you're so real to us. You are the truth. You are our very life. We declare that the words this morning that you've shared in words of prophecy, to strengthen and encourage us, and his stories and testimonies. We receive them from you to do, to carry on, to be whatever you want us to be. We look forward to you adding to us the necessary tools that we need to function and complete your call. To your glory forever, we love you. Amen.